ye saints of light, proclaim Jesus the light of life and mercy in his name. Jesus the light of the world will walk in the light, the beautiful light. Come with the children of mercy abright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. He the Savior's on us call. Jesus, the light of the world. Gospel to the one, Jesus, the light of the world, will walk in the light, beautiful light. Come with the jewel of mercy, abide. Shine all around us. Why not seek him then today? Jesus, the light of the world. Go we to the narrow way. Jesus, the light of the world. We'll walk in the light. Jesus, the light of the world, and the bells of heaven will ring. Jesus, the light of the world, will walk in the light, beautiful light. Come with the jewel of mercy abide, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Yes, turn your eyes, oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you all. I give you praise. Oh, you are the life. Oh, the truth, the way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I bless your name. Oh, I bless your name. We bless your name this morning. Oh, we bless your name. We bless your name. Oh, we bless your name. We give you honor and grace. We give you honor. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed be your name, oh Lord. You are the life. Oh, the truth, the way. Lord Jesus, I bless your name. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. We bless your name. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a blessed name. The name Jesus Christ. Oh, the name so sweet that, Lord, we always want to hear. Because when we hear, it reminds us of, Lord, your redemption. Oh, it reminds us of your salvation, Lord. Father, this morning, we thank you that you have cleansed us. And even you have translated us onto the kingdom of your dear Son. And even as we see ourselves this morning, Lord, oh, we see that we are gathered together, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for this grace that, Lord, you've accorded us once again to be in your house. And Father, we've come to the time to hear from you. And so, Father, we commit, Lord, your servant, Lord, into your hands. The Lord, you put him aside, O God. And let the Holy Spirit overshadow him, O God. Yesterday, the church was blessed. And you are the same God this morning. Oh, here to bless your children, oh God. Father, let your word, oh God, oh, have a place in us, Lord. Seal your word this morning in our hearts. The Lord, we will be reflecting the very word that we will hear. The Lord, our life will be an epistle, oh God. Oh, being read of all men. That they will know that you still have your children on earth here. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, even as your word says, we should bring our tithes and offering to your house. Amen. Oh, and then we test you whether you not open the windows of heaven, that even we shall have no place to keep our blessings. Father, we've done it according to your word, O Lord. Oh, Father, bless it, O Lord Jesus, and for the purpose that it has been given for. Oh, Lord, let it be to thy glory. Bless your children this morning. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray with all thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, my precious brother wants a special song before he comes to the pulpit. And so, my brother, just give the song for my precious brother before he comes to the pulpit. Oh, hallelujah. How many love him? Oh, just surrender yourself to him this morning. As we learned from our Sunday school, he said, what you want to see, you will see this morning. If you want to see plenty of Christ, you will see him. Take away your thoughts and your mind away from the preacher, and look, you will see Christ. Amen.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is here, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, Prince is dead. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince
Someone feel light in their spirit. Amen. Someone feels he's wonderful. Amen. He's the Prince of Peace. Amen. He's the Counselor. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you love him this morning? Amen. Or give the Lord a clap offering? Amen. Amen. I was so happy last night. Just felt so free. Amen. It's the congregation that makes it easy for the preacher. Amen. It's what you draw and what you pull that determines what you hear, what you get. Amen. Like our brother was saying, you get according to your expectation. Amen. Which gives me to understand zero expectation equals zero results. Amen. Come to church with a critic spirit, you'll just come go back home a bona fide critic. Praise the Lord. Come with an expectation. God will do the exceeding abundant, amen, above that which you can think or ask for. That's the God we serve. Yes, he is that fair. He gives you according to your expectation. Amen. So I'd like to greet you once again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also appreciate every one of you, all the saints, and also Brother Andrew for asking us to stand in the gap. Amen. It's a mighty trust which we pray not to betray. Amen. Like I always say, I've known Brother Andrew. You probably know what I'll say after this. Praise the Lord. You've known him for a long time. Okay, Brother Crosby, fine, yes. But it's the truth. I've known him for a long time. He's a very straightforward kind of a guy, very upright. Amen. I would gladly sit under his ministry if he would gladly accept me as my pastor. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's done that anyway in our lives, didn't he, Brother David? When we were growing up, he taught us how to pray, he provoked us to read. He's just been that kind of a brother to us. It's the truth. It's a fact. Amen. Many men, you would have to watch those three things upon them: money, women, or popularity. But with Brother Andrew, he's a regular guy who just loves to serve the Lord. Amen. With some of us, we still need grace in a lot of things. Praise the Lord. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Trust him. He will not leave you. He will not fail you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord will not fail any one of the people that trust him.
Amen.
Amen. That song, wonderful, we used to sing it when we were young. We would go through all the stanzas, praise the Lord. Amen. Not just the chorus. Once a slave, now I'm free. Free from condemnation. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We used to not depend so much on musicians.
Amen.
We used to create our own music with our hands.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We were just that way. Amen. So when you come to church, come under expectation. And don't come to see who's there. Come for yourself.
Amen.
You will see Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. While we're still standing, let's turn to our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6 of chapter 9. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a child is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Praise the Lord. Amen. This scripture, like I said last night, it has revolutionized my life. I no longer use it as just a scripture to convince a Trinitarian about the oneness of God. But it's now a scripture that has become part of my life in a way that I never expected. Praise the Lord. Because it was a prophecy about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet in there, God slipped in some things that was meant for the bride, especially in the last days. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why I would like to announce to you that despite your depression and what you think is wrong, we are living in the most tremendous time. Amen.
Amen.
Sages, powerful people desired to live in this day.
Amen.
Because of the word that's in this day, the anointing that's in this day, the promises that can only be partook of now in this day. So it's a tremendous, tremendous time. Praise the Lord. It might not feel like it right now, but just raise your faith. Look to Him. You will begin to understand that there is no better age you could have lived other than this age. Amen. Praise the Lord. For a title, before I announce my title, I would like to tell you that I've preached from this scripture, like I was saying, most of the time. Just wait, brother. Don't announce my title yet. I just want to zero in on this scripture. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word. Let us pray one more time. Precious Father, many prayers have gone forth in this house because your scripture tells us that mine house shall be a house of prayer. Thanksgiving has been given. Lord, requests have been read. Father, people's hearts have mellowed to hear from you. Oh God, we just ask that you be, oh Father, the one who takes preeminence this moment. Lord, you have never failed your children. Even a man that called you at their party to mock you, you still attended. Father God, we are not calling you here to mock you, but we want to be illuminated, raised up. We want to meet up with you. We want to know you in the power and strength of your resurrection. We are inviting you, Father, may you come and take preeminence in our service. Father, you said the greatest gift that William Branham had was his ability to put himself aside. And I pray that, Lord, you might put me and move me aside and use me, Father, as if it's my last sermon to preach. Lord, I commit my soul, and I also pray that you might keep our humble group in Leicester as they are also waiting on you, O God. Father, we ask that you might also give, O God, Brother Andrew and Brother George, safe traveling mercies as they come back to Ireland. Lord, we look upon to you, the author and finisher of our faith. We love you. We bless your name. There is none like you.
Amen.
Father, we are willing to surrender all to meet up with your requirements because you mean all to us.
Amen.
Father, there is nothing out there that can entice us anymore.
Amen.
We see how dark and how bad the devil is. Lord, we look upon to you for sustenance, help, guidance, leadership, everything, Lord. You are our all in all.
Yes.
And we bless your name this morning. We ask for your favor that you may just come down in fellowship with us so that we might say like those going to Emmaus, didn't our hearts burn as he spake with us? Come and create an atmosphere among us, Lord, that will make us sit in heavenly places. Father, dissolve all doubts and cast away all fear. And let faith be the principle of what we are doing. Help us this morning, O God. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. May the Lord add blessings to the reading of His word. You may be seated in His presence. This scripture, unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. It has meant a lot to me. Like I was saying, I've been preaching on it since the beginning of the year. And I haven't stopped since, because it has been that good to me. Amen. And reading it in the eyes of the message, it brings a whole completely new, powerful dimension. Amen. It's no longer just a scripture I quickly rush to convince a Trinitarian, but it's a scripture that when I'm in problems and in situations, I go to that scripture to find out exactly how I'm supposed to tackle what challenge is ahead of me. What do you mean, Brother Crosby? For example, now, like last night, we now know that the government is upon his shoulder. Amen. And his shoulder is actually his body. And his body is the bride of Jesus Christ. And it's the church. It's you and me. The church, not a building, but a church, an individual who has an invisible union with Christ. Because we are in an invisible union of the bride and Christ. And that is why one of the last sermons that Brother Branham preached in 1965 is the invisible union of the bride. So that we know and we are positionally placed to understand what time we are living in. It's a tremendous hour. It's not a time for church. It's not a time for religion. It's a time for a union. Amen. Amen. How many say, I would like to be united with Christ? Amen. We are born to be united. Praise the Lord. God has a purpose and a program for our lives. Your life is not your own. You were bought at a price. Not the price of bulls and goats, but the price of the incorruptible blood of Jesus Christ. And when a man purchases something, it means, for instance, if you go to Grafton Street to buy yourself some clothes, praise the Lord. If you see something that you think you like, amen. What you are actually doing, if you take money out of your pocket to purchase that thing, you are saying that the money in your pocket is of less value than the thing you are purchasing. Amen. You are saying this thing is more valuable, so I have to part with my money, because money in my pocket ain't worth a thing, but that thing to my life is worth something. There are certain suits that a person can say, you know what? This suit, I will buy because it's worth its weight in gold. And the money in my pocket is of less value than the suit I want. Amen. So when you purchase something, you are actually exchanging. It's a transaction of exchange. The thing you are exchanging is of lesser value than the thing you are getting. Amen. And now if Christ purchased you with his blood, it means his blood was of a lesser value than your existence. That's why he says the value of a soul is worth 10 million worlds. So don't look at yourself according to your circumstances. Don't look at yourself according to your problems. Don't look at yourself according to your weakness. Look to the promise. Amen. Just like the prophet taught us that if you look red through red, produces white. Praise the Lord. Christ is not looking at you according to who you are. He is looking at his sacrifice. Because none of us would be worthy or be ready, none of us can be called a Christian unless Christ is looking at what he did. He is looking at his purchase price. Praise the Lord. And when you value a suit and you buy an expensive suit, you don't buy a suit to just hang it behind the door if it's really of value. You make sure you actually get a bag with it. Amen, with a zip. When you put it off, you put it back in there, and you really make sure that it's kept because of the value and what it has cost you. And if it's like that for natural things, how much more do you think God is protecting your existence? God loves you. God, I don't know how to express this. There ain't enough words in the vocabulary to express this. But I want to tell you, my brother, my sister, you've got nothing to worry about except to just line up with his word and he does the rest. Leave the care to you up to him. Amen. And he does it very well. Much more than you can take care of yourself. He actually knows you more than you know yourself. Amen. That's how good our God is. Praise the Lord. Now, according to this scripture of Isaiah chapter 9, amen, you begin to see it says, unto us a child is born. Now, when Christ was a child, he was still God, yet being a child. That's why Brother Branham says, you know, when that baby Jesus was born, says when Mary was stroking that baby's pretty cheeks, he was stroking Jehovah. Amen. In a baby's body. Amen. Amen. And then when that child grew to be 12, he stood and confounded. Amen. He confounded the clergy of that day. Amen. The Pharisees, the high priests. He began to confound them because he was a peculiar child. He was not born the way normal children are born, because he was not normal. He was God. Amen. He was born by an immaculate conception. It being a sign that had been asked by a king. But yet that king never saw that sign. He said, show me a sign. And the prophet said, I'll show you a sign. A virgin shall conceive. The virgin never conceived until after 700 years. So did the king see that sign? No. But it is God's great wisdom to show us that despite someone wanting to be convinced, God had a greater plan to preach to you and me and have this Bible established as it is. That's why the prophet teaches us that you see God in nature, God in the zodiac, God in his Bible, God in his people. So unless God is in his people, where would we see Jesus now? One scripture says, the Greeks came to him and says, we would see Jesus. But why would they says we would see Jesus when they could look at him? They were looking at him saying, says we would see Jesus. But because he was not unveiled to them, as he is now unveiled to us. Amen. So we are living in a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous time. Amen. Amen. And when that child was taken up Mount Transfiguration, and a voice said, hear ye him, he was now taken into adoption as sonship. So he was a child who became a son, and then the government was upon his shoulder, which was the office that he would give to his purchased wife, which is the authority that comes on top of a message believer. The government upon his shoulder. I hope there was a clear teaching last night. Praise the Lord. And now, he says, he shall be called Wonderful. Capital W. Amen. I preached that message, Wonderful, on a Sunday. And I went to the Hebrew word of that word, Wonderful. It means Pele, like the football star, P-E-L-E. Amen. I preached that on a Sunday. And that word, when you take it to run it through the Bible, wherever it was used, it's got two meanings. There's Pele and Pala, P-E-L-E and P-A-L-A, praise the Lord. The other one is the adverb, the other one is the noun. But it means the same thing, wonderful, marvelous, outstanding, astonishing, of great, surpassing, surprising. Praise the Lord. And when I preached about wonderful, I began to look at all the scriptures that word was used. It took me to Genesis chapter 18, to a scripture where God was saying, is anything too hard for the Lord? And I thought to myself, what does this mean? It simply means, my brother, to a believer, to a predestinated child of God, you will not get an easy task in life. Your life can come out through roughness, awful things, much abuse. So many bad things will happen to you. But when God begins to work on you, he is able to change that nasty situation to a wonder. That is why his name is simply called Wonderful. There is no explanation. When you begin to look back from where he took you from to where he's taking you, you are left with one explanation. He is wonderful. Amen. That same scripture also takes you to Jeremiah chapter 32. Verse 7 and 32 as well. Where Jeremiah is caught up in a hard, nasty situation. He's in a prison. But yet God comes and tells him to purchase a field by the Holy Ghost. And just as soon as the Holy Ghost tells him to purchase a field, the one who's selling the field actually walks into the court. And Jeremiah said, and I knew that the thing was of the Lord. But yet the man was in prison. So brother, you might be in a prison, but that doesn't nullify God's word concerning your life. And when he was in that prison, that's when Jeremiah also made a prayer. And his prayer did not start with a rhythm. It wasn't a fancy, nice prayer of a clergy, someone who's praying fancy, saying, oh great Jehovah, as I approach your throne. It wasn't like that. It was a very hard prayer coming out of desperation. The prayer started by saying, ah, Lord God. Brother, there comes a time when your situation does not start with our Father. It starts with, ah, Lord God. Jeremiah simply said, ah, Lord God, is anything too hard for you? Brother, when Jeremiah finishes praying, God comes to answer that prayer by answering his first statement. He came and said, I am the God of all flesh. Nothing is too hard for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And that word is pele. I preached that on Sunday. And I gave an example and I said, you all know Pele, a football player that's here on earth. He's retired. But so far, you'll have Lionel Messi and all these guys, Ronaldo, Diego Maradona, all these monkeys, praise the Lord. All them animals, praise the Lord. They still haven't surpassed Pele. He is still the greatest footballer on earth. So I began to say, Pele, he doesn't even know that the mystery of his success is the name he's carrying. And I began to explain that, you see, sometimes God just allows things. He allows the world to catch the mystery of God before the church is actually catching it. How many remember when Brother Branham was on the day, he says, you know what? God allowed a man without the Holy Ghost to tap into the supernatural and bring down the pillar of fire exactly as it is. And he produced a film called The Ten Commandments, Cecil DeMille's. It was God who allowed him to depict the pillar of fire exactly the way it was. The bush that burned without it burning. And how the pillar of fire opened the Red Sea in a dramatic, theoretical movie. That was the Holy Ghost trying to preach to all nature. And I began to say, it's the exact same Holy Ghost that allowed that man Pele to carry that name and be the greatest footballer. I was preaching that on a Sunday. Pele received every award known to men in football. World Cup soccer. I preached that on a Sunday. Monday, headline news was Pele received the Belladron Award, an award he was not supposed to receive because he was not playing soccer in Europe. But they've decided to honor him with that award as a lifetime achievement. And I began to see that God is saying something to the bride of Jesus Christ. Sunday preaching it, Monday the guy gets an award. And Pele, when he was being given the award, he started crying. And he said, I don't know why people gave me this award. Everything that has happened to me is nothing but the grace of God. Praise the Lord. He still remained humble about it. And I said, as long as he carries that name Pele and that humility, his name will live forever in the football realm. Same thing happened in boxing. The greatest boxer in history. Who is he? Yeah, but right now he's got Parkinson, Alzheimer's. He's a shadow of what he used to be. Why? Because he used to call himself, I am the greatest. That was his mistake. the greatest is Jesus Christ. God had to prove to him that wrong statement. You are not the greatest. Pele has never said, I'm the greatest footballer. He still humbles himself and says, I'm not worthy. And I said, there is a sermon preached to the world. Here are two men great in their field. The other one remains humble when it comes to God. The other one says, I am the greatest. And he even subscribes to an abomination that makes a disloyal. He even changed his name to Muhammad. The other one is Muhammad. Huh? The other one is Pele. The other one's name is Christian. The other one is an abomination. The one with an abominable name is. What happened to I am the greatest? God has a way of humbling people. So I began to research because I got so intrigued. I preach this on Sunday. This happens on Monday. Let me find out who gave him this name, Pele. Nobody knows how he got that name, not even his parents. It just started as a nickname at school. And the people that gave him that nickname did not know what it means from the Hebrew. It's spelled exactly the same. It is, and they just call Pele, Pele, Pele. And he didn't, he says, I knew that if I resist this nickname, it would stick. So I just kept quiet about it until I just says, if people want to call me Pele, so be it. It's not even his name. But God was trying to show how wonderful he is. But yet he's preaching to nature. He's preaching to unborn Christians. Now, how much more when you who know the mystery of that name embrace it as yours? How wonderful can he be? How wonderful can you solve your problems? Did he promise a flowery bed of ease? How many have ever asked themselves as Christians, why do I always have had problems in my life? It's because the God you serve is wonderful. He can turn around those situations. Amen. Amen. So I preached two services on wonderful. The first one, then came the story of Pele. And then the second one, wonderful part two, I started from the name of Pele. Taking the football star and comparing him to Muhammad Ali. Just like Brother Branham once got inspiration of a message called A Thinking Man's Filter from a cigarette box. In case one might say, is that the message? It is the message. It just depends on how you are looking at it. Say amen to that someone. So, amen. He is called wonderful. Amen. So I dealt with wonderful. And then I went to counselor. I preached a couple of messages from the word counselor. Now the word counselor, it will take you, it means tsar. It will take you to so many places in the Bible. The most outstanding place it will take you to is the story when David was at his most difficult time, when he was running away from his son Absalom. David knew that his life is under great threat. David knew that only God could sustain him. David, this is the time when David writes the Psalm, Psalm 61. It's when he's running away from his own son. That's when he says, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. It is when he's running away from his own son. But when that conspiracy was upon David, David brought that issue upon his own life. He opened the gap, the chasm that brought evil spirits in his own life. He went and took Bathsheba. God was not happy with it. And it opened up that channel. David knew. He still remained a man after God's own heart, but he paid dearly for it. To the extent that his own son, Amnon, was involved with his own daughter, Tamar. That's incest. And who was the the conduit to all this, a guy called Jonadab, who was also David's brother's son. It was all happening in the family. Then after that, Absalom knows of how his sister Tamar was handled by his brother. And Absalom says, oh, no, don't worry, sister. It's okay. Let's put it under the blood. But meanwhile, he was plotting to kill Amnon. So in all of David's children, his most beloved child before Solomon came was Absalom. He was his favorite son. That's why he cries in the message, in the Psalm, Psalm 61. Take me to the rock that is higher than I. Because he just didn't know what else to do. And now, he had a friend there that sought to have solidarity with his friend. His name was Hushai. Hushai thought, I can't join up with that conspiracy. Let me join up with David, my friend. And David said to him, now that you have come to me, please, you have no effect if you run around with me. But go and join the other camp and confound the council of Ahithophel. Amen. Because David knew that when Ahithophel speaks, it was as if it's thus says the Lord. So when Ahithophel was in that camp, Hushai was behind the scenes. Ahithophel gave Absalom counsel. He said to Absalom, you want the people of Israel to follow you. You take your father's wives on top of the house in front of all Israel. Then everyone will see that you are against your father. Absalom, when he was given that advice of adultery, he never asked for second opinion. He just stood up and went and did it straight away. Many times people seem to think that when you catch certain revelations, it's very hard to catch the revelation of things that have to do with committing sin. It's very easy. Praise the Lord. It's harder to live faithful and true than to just go and do those things. When Absalom was told to do that, he never asked for second opinion. But when he was asked second counsel by Ahithophel, was go, take 12,000 men, go and overwhelm your father's camp, and people will run away, and your father will remain on his own, then we will kill him. Absalom said, let me have second opinion. That's when he asked Hushai. And Hushai says, you know what? Your father is a man of war from his youth. Do you think that he's with the people right now? He is strategizing. Your father will kill you and he chew you apart. David was the most vulnerable, but God had to make sure that behind the scenes, there is a counselor. Have you ever been in a situation where you don't know how to behave, but yet there is things plotted against you at work, work politics, in the office, all this, that, and the other. But let me tell you, behind the scenes, if the Holy Ghost goes behind the scenes, he is your counselor. That's why the Bible says, think not what you shall say. It shall be given you. Because the Holy Ghost is still a counselor. God's other attribute, his other name is Counselor. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I preached on that as well. That was Counselor. And then I went to the Mighty God. That word Mighty God means Gibboah. Gibboah is like valor, men of valor. Watch God as he fights for you. He's undefeatable. It will take you straight to Psalms 24. And in Psalms 24, you will know that that's where the Bible says, who is the King of glory? The Lord strong in battle. Brother, sister, if you have an issue that you are fighting for, don't commit it to any other person. Commit it to God. He's the Lord strong in battle. That's Gibboah in Hebrew. which also means mighty men of valor. When God fights for you, nobody can fight for you better than God. And he's good at showdowns. When I preached that sermon, I took Brother Branham. He had gone for some campaigns at a certain place. And he had prayed for two girls. And he told them testimonies. And the girls were so happy. They went all around town testifying about Brother Branham. Until there were two FBI gentlemen who met those girls. And he says, we are going to expose William Branham. And these girls were so shocked. And they felt so bad that we have caused the prophet to be in this mix. Because we just started going on. So they went back to the same hotel where Brother Branham was. And they said, oh, we are sorry, Brother Billy. We have stirred up some problems for you. The FBI are on your case. They are coming to expose you tonight. And Brother Branham answers, says, you have known God as your healer. Watch him as a fighter for you. Oh brother, let me tell you, you might have known God as your savior, but wait till he fights for you when everyone is plotted against you. He is mighty in battle. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord in the highest. When I preached that message, I preached the mighty God from part 1 to part 8. And I wanted to read Psalm 24. And I made a mistake and I announced Psalm 124. And something said to me while I was preaching, just read that psalm, you've made a mistake. And when I was reading that psalm, I preached a message out of that one called the Anthem of the Redeemed. Psalm 124, this is where God says the snare has been broken. Anything that fights and fights against you, let's read that so that you know that he's a mighty God. Psalm 124, to us it was a God-given scripture. We have seen so many breakthroughs out of that. It started the revival for us. Psalm 124. Psalm 124, listen to what it says. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when they had swallowed us up quick, when their wrath was kindled against us, when the waters had overwhelmed us and the stream had gone over our soul, then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a snare, or as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Which Lord are we talking about? The one who made heaven and earth. Brother, we had a gastronomical feast on that scripture after reading it by mistake. It was God-given. And I said, Lord, you never give someone a scripture unless you are about to break some snares. And I want to tell you, my brother, my sister, if you have something that's been binding you for a long time, the government is upon your shoulder. He is wonderful. He is a mighty God. He can still take care of you. You just have to apply yourself to this counsel of God. He knows what he's doing. Almighty God in heaven knows what he's doing. Praise the Lord. Do you love him? Do you love him? So I just thought I would just go through, you know, show you what I've been going through with this little scripture of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. And then, we haven't touched the everlasting Father yet, but we skipped to the Prince of Peace. So today, I'm preaching for you, the Prince of Peace. Amen. I was just laying my background, just telling you what has been going on there, but today we are preaching about the Prince of Peace. Amen. How many would like to know him as their Prince of Peace? Amen. How many, this Prince of Peace, how many know that he has always wanted to bring peace in the life of the believer. Praise the Lord. We are living in a day where we had a prophet come on the scene, and that prophet preached and announced for us a shalom to the bride. Shalom means peace. And it's the peace of God upon the believer. And nobody can usher you into peace better than the Prince of Peace himself. Praise the Lord. If the world gives you peace, it's temporal. No treaty can ever put you into a secure mode. Hallelujah. Everything is degenerating right now as we speak. But when he, the Prince of Peace, comes upon your life, he makes a difference. That word shalom came out of Judges chapter 6. Turn with me to Judges chapter 6 as we get into this sermon, the Prince of Peace. Touch your neighbor and say, you've got to have him as your Prince of Peace. Judges chapter 6, from verse 11 to 24. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertaineth unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And I want to tell you tonight, church in Dublin, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. It might not look like he's with you when you look at the circumstances around you, but let me tell you today, the Lord is with you. Maybe God has come to announce this to you in case you are doubting whether God is walking with you. The Lord is with you. Or touch your neighbor and tell them, the Lord is with you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, it didn't look like the Lord was with him. Raise it, verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Doesn't it look strange that when we say we have the greatest power, we seem to be like people who have the greatest problems? But brother, let me tell you, the Lord is still with you. Says, and where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. The ability to question your circumstance is actually a power to say no to your circumstance. And that's the thing that God is looking at you. You might be in a nasty spot, but are you content in it? Or you are saying, no, this is not my destiny. If you are saying, no, this is not my destiny, that's a power in itself. Your situation will move away from you. But if you say, gladly will I toil and suffer, oh, put 5 more years to your confession right there. You shall be toiling and suffering for a few more years to come. Because that's what you are confessing. But you are saying, if you are saying, them that look and observe the things that are around them, the lying vanities, they forsake their own mess. If you are thinking about the situation you left at home at a time when God is saying, thou mighty man of valor, you are forsaking your own mercy. As we are preaching right now, and some of you are saying, amen, you are actually ushering yourself into the mercies of God. Right. Says, have I not sent thee? Raise it up. And he said unto him, oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Doesn't it look better for God to send you and then give you such equipment that you will just go park your Ferrari at a neighborhood and call all the young people to Christ? Says, I'll take you for a ride in my Ferrari if you come to church with me. It'll be easy to testify, wouldn't it? You park your Lamborghini and you say, Jesus is good. Let's go to church. This is what God has done. God never sends you like that. God sends you with nothing in your hand but faith in Him. That's where He starts. Many times when we want to do a move for God, we always want to make sure that we have the manifest. No, we have the desire first. We have the zeal first. We have the love to do God's business first. God doesn't look at your pockets. He looks at your heart. And this brother, he's still in the realm of the flesh, says, but I ain't got no money and my father is poor. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Amen. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then shew me a sign that thou hast talked with me. Imagine, this is a man who's asking for a sign, especially after talking to God. You see these two extremes we now have. There are some people, just when God descends upon their prayer life, they rise up quickly to go and give a testimony before God has already spoke what He wants. And then there are others who, when God is speaking to, they are still doubting. And He said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And He said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready for a kid and unleavened bread, cakes of an offer of flour, flesh. He put it upon the basket. He put it forth on the broth and the pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his presence. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Amen. Fear not. Amen. Thou shalt not die. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, peace Amen. Be unto thee. Amen. Thou shalt not die. Amen. When this was so, then came this famous name. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abzarites. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, what you begin to see with this text is the fact that Gideon did not have God announce to him that peace be unto you in an easy situation. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Because many times when Christians, we have this thing that we only feel secure with the things that we see around us. Then we can begin to say, I'm sure God is with me. Why? Because of the car that's parked outside and the house that I'm living in and the clothes that I'm buying. So peace is with me. God never announces peace. He only announces peace in the midst of a chaos. Look at this man called Gideon. He was in a place where he was threshing wheat. At a place where there's supposed to be grapes and wine. He is threshing wheat. An odd place to find a testimony. What God liked about this man was he was not giving up on his present circumstances. He had to say to himself, somehow the Lord will make a way out of this. Meanwhile, I can't sit and die and perish. Let me go with my wheat to the wine press. Seeing there are no grapes around, nobody will ever suspect anyone to be at a wine press. And God was happy with his ingenuity. Amen. Amen. And his initiative
to do something for the glory of God. He was happy with his level of faith that there are no jobs, but he's just throwing CVs left, right, and center. There are no jobs. He's doing something about his life. When God was thoroughly happy, that's when God decided to visit him and say, "Thou mighty man of valor." Where was the valor seen in Gideon? It was seen in defying his obstacles. There's someone here tonight. Defy your own obstacle. I'm here to tell you, you are a mighty man of valor. Don't let the economy, don't let Dublin and England determine your destiny. We serve a God who's above every principality. Do I have a witness here, someone? Anybody say amen to that? Anybody can say I'm a witness to that? Because the God we serve is about to rapture us out of this place. How can we be raptured when we haven't exercised our faith? We've got to be in a mode. So therefore, let me announce to you, hard problems come to Christians. Some people think, why do these things happen to me? Things that I pay my tithe and everything. I'm such a Christian. I'm there every Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and prayer meetings, but nothing is happening. My God, are you with me? Where are you? Why has thou forsaken me? God is not in the business of going with weaklings to heaven. Brother, he has to toughen you up with your situation. Somebody say amen. That's what impressed God on Gideon. Amen. Then God had to announce to Gideon, amen, that peace be with you. Amen. And Gideon recognized it and he made an altar and he called it Jehovah Shalom. And your prophets in 1964, in the beginning of the year, he came and preached a message called Shalom to the Bride. My brother, my sister, it's going to be very, very tough. But not for the bride. He read the scripture of Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2, where he says, "Arise and shine, for thy light has come." My brother, my sister, don't look around you. Don't look at the symptoms. Look at the promise. Look and leave, my brother, leave. Oh, somebody help me preach today. Oh, I feel religious already. Hallelujah. God is in the business of bringing people out of hard situations. How would you know him to be wonderful unless you had a ridiculous case that only Mr. Wonderful can take care of? How would you know him to be the mighty God unless you needed somewhere where he fights for you? How would you know him to be a counselor unless you had somewhere where he comes to give you counsel, where no psychologist can help, where no psychiatrist can help, where nothing can undertake but only him in heaven? Say amen to that, someone. Oh, I feel religious. Hallelujah. He has to allow nasty, bad background. Nobody of spiritual significance in the Bible came out of something straight and beautiful and wonderful. Nobody was born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Even Moses, who could have been the next Pharaoh, God had to make sure that he strips him of all that and sends him back to the backside of the desert where he can come out knowing that this God is real. The first thing that God had to speak to Moses was, "By my name, Jehovah, was I not known?" My brother, my sister, let me tell you, Jehovah is a redemptive name. Redemption means, brother, bringing back to original position. This is when God begins to, you might have been broken and wounded and bruised and beaten up by the devil. God begins to shape your life again. Hallelujah. Anybody ready for some shaping up? Praise the Lord in the highest. When God begins to deal with Gideon like that, he puts an altar. Brother Paul, let me have my first quotation. Watch what Brother Branham, when he announces this Shalom, 1964. He preached this sermon twice. Amen. One after the other. Praise the Lord. Amen. Says, "This gross darkness, I wish to speak on first, that there is so much of it that the world today, growing darker and darker all the time. For most of you who are thinking that maybe next year the credit crunch is over, jobs will come back, then next year things are going to be easier, then we'll buy houses. Next year, brother, the world is again falling apart. Where we are going, it's going to get tougher and tougher. It's going to get darker and darker. How do you survive in such a dark time? Brother, we don't perish with the world. God is looking for modern day Gideons. People that can survive out of another source that is not known to men. A supernatural source. Amen. Hear what your prophet says. Each year we find that the world's getting darker, spiritually speaking, because they are groping in darkness. There is more sin. Amen. Just passing through what we have, the assassination of the president and so forth, and people being murdered right here in our country, where we couldn't think that it would happen in time of modern civilization, but we sure have it. Because gross darkness is upon the people. Now, those who will not turn to the light, then there is only one thing I can say for the coming year. 1964. Brother Branham is not saying things are going to get easier. He's saying to those of you who are not turning to the light, thinking you can survive otherwise, other than the word, let me announce to you, you are going to stoop darker and darker as the year goes on. I preach this as our New Year's message, that things are going to get darker and darker. Oh, you are saying there are no more jobs now. It's going to get worse. Oh, you are saying the economy is hard. It's going to get worse. If God wants to show you how worse it will get, you'll end up seeing combis in Ireland if you are not serious. Praise the Lord. It's gonna get worse. Praise the Lord. Now watch, Brother Branham doesn't just say it's gonna get darker and darker. He also says something significant. That's why my sermon is, you must know the Prince of Peace. Here is what the prophet says. But to those who will turn onto this new year, to the light, amen. Capital L. Amen. To those that will turn to the light, then you'll get brighter, amen. And brighter, amen. Unto that perfect day that we are looking for. Amen. Many times when something nasty happens to a message church, people are shaking. It's the squeeze. Did you hear what's happening to Brother Tony Reagan? It's the squeeze. It's the squeeze. When I hear that the squeeze is upon us, I say, oh, come on, Satan, bring it on. Homegoing time. This is where it separates the men from the boys. The believers from the unbelievers. The church has gone on for a long time with three kinds of believers. It's only the squeeze, my brother, that brings out the real believer. Now, when people are like, it's a squeeze. A squeeze can only frighten those that know nothing about God. But to those that know God, the people that know their God, they shall do exploits. This is a time for the third pull, spoken word speaking. This is a time that we have been waiting for. Because if you are not the bride, shame. If you are thinking we are having fun, we don't know what we are talking about. When we tell you about things not to do and things to do, you think, they're just too fanatical. They're just too fanatical. Oh, I'm my age, you, my brother, my sister. It's time to turn to the light. Amen. Things are going to get darker and darker. Amen. But at the same time, it's going to get brighter and brighter. Amen. Says, he's appearing where all darkness will faded away. And the reason for that is why I can't say to the Church of the Living God today. Brother Bram says, the reason for that is why I can say to the Church of the Living God today, shalom. Amen. Because we are his light. Amen. So I've also come to also say, seeing that the government is upon your shoulders, amen. If you are a true bride, shalom. Amen. Shalom. Amen. Shalom. Amen. Shalom. Amen. Shalom. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, please don't pray for Brother Crosby. He doesn't need praying for now. He's done for that. He's prayed on his own. Praise the Lord. Shalom. Shalom. It's shalom to the brides. Praise the Lord. What is the prophet saying to us? As each year comes by, things are going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. But to those who are in the message, not in a message church, but in the message, those that are not part of the third part of the three kinds of believers, of unbelieving and make-believing, those that are really believing, it's a bright time for them. Because there is no better time to be a believer than this time. Because that's the time of the manifestations of the sons of God. Oh my. It is the morning star that is visible when the light of the sun commences to shine. Remember, Brother Branham says, it's darkest before dawn. I've set to watch that happen. When it's about to get dawn, it really gets more darker. Christ is about to come to collect his bride. Things are going to get more darker. I feel sorry for our children who think that we are some crazy folks that have been holding on to this crazy message, because they see us and they think, why can't I go to the movie, Daddy? Dad, why can't I wear trousers? Actually, it's more logical to wear trousers than a skirt, isn't it? Trousers is more safer than a skirt. Hello? But the word says it's an abomination. So what do you choose? What's convenient for you, or what really, really is of God? Praise the Lord. He says here, it's getting lighter because the morning star is about to appear. And he says, when our son, S-U-N, Jesus, Brother Branham is speaking metaphorically. When our son, S-U-N, Jesus comes, there will be no further need of messengers. He will bring us his message of cheer himself. And he rules his kingdom. And we live in his presence. The light of the word will become brighter and brighter in our perfect day. This was said in 1960. Then Brother Branham comes in 1964 and he says, I have a message that I want to preach to the bride. It's shalom. Amen. To the bride. Amen. 4 years later, it's shalom. Brother Branham is giving us subliminal messages to tell us that if it's peace to the bride, Christ is around the block. Amen. Watch. Satan is defeated. Amen. He knows. He's on the earth. He's going like a roaring lion. It isn't long till he's finished. He knows his time. He's going like a roaring lion. But remember, the Prince of Peace stands by. Amen. The devil is rolling like a roaring lion. But the Prince of Peace, that wonderful man of Galilee, amen, is standing by. The great divine one. Amen. The architect of my being. Amen. 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 The architect of my being. The architect who built me what I am. Amen. Who built you what you are. Amen. Is here.
Amen.
If the architect who knows how to put the building together, amen, is right here, amen, in this place, who knows better than the architect? Amen. And is here to prove himself is here.
Amen.
And he says, now it's based upon your faith.
Amen.
Believe.
Amen.
Only believe.
Amen.
So how do you survive in this time when the devil is rolling like a roaring lion? Is to lean on the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
Because that Prince of Peace, he is your architect.
Amen.
He made you.
Amen.
He designed you.
Amen.
You were fearfully and wonderfully made for the glory of God.
Amen.
So how do we survive in this dark day? Go back to the architect.
Amen.
Raise it up, young man. An architect. A person who designs buildings and in many cases also supervises their construction. Now, if we have Christ as the Prince of Peace being your architect, he knows what you can handle.
Amen.
He knows the capacity the building can carry at any given time. He knows the maximum number of occupants before the steel beams begin to collapse. That's why the Bible says he will not tempt you above that which you can bear. Because he designed you. He made you. He even knows how to bring you out in this last day. When he designed these people, this great architect, the Prince of Peace, when he designed Joseph and gave him the dreams that he gave him, he knew that that guy was not going to complain when he's put in Potiphar's house as a servant. God was able to bring him out of that. And he wasn't going to complain when he's put in a prison house. He still says, I know that my Maker will bring me out. Nowadays, it's darker and darker. We even have now people coming out of church, going into hospital with depression. Where the Prince of Peace reigns, your architect, the one who fearfully and wonderfully made you and chose your mate for you, he knows you better than you know yourself. Who knows the building better, the architect or the building itself? Come on, somebody help me. The architect. And who's your architect? The Prince of Peace. Most of you think that my life never went the route I wanted. Oh, what shame. There's no shame in that. Your designer who built this construction, this house of clay, he knows exactly what he's doing. He even knew that some of you, he can't make Zimbabweans. He knew that you couldn't stand the sun back there. You have to come from the very, very cold regions of Lithuania, Brother Vegas. He knew that. Your architect knew that. Praise the Lord. Some of you, he knew that you could never be Congolese. He made sure you were from Ghana. Some of you, he knew everything about you. Your designer knows. That's why the Bible, when you catch a revelation of it, you begin to make sense to you. It begins to make a whole lot of sense. When Paul caught this mystery, he says, unto him, Christ, the captain of our salvation. Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And if he's the author and finisher of your faith, he knows what faith you need for what year. He knows the way through the valley. He knows what stage you are at in your walk. Your architect knows you by name. He's so skilled in his trade that you don't lose a year before he tells his calculator that subtract a couple of years. Scotty is getting bold. Scotty is getting bold. He's getting bold. He's lost a few years. Oh, Crosby's going gray. Crosby's going. He knows. He is your architect. He knows how far he can let the devil tempt you. He was Job's architect. He knew exactly to what extent the devil should touch Job. And you think he doesn't know your problem? That's why the remark behind says, only believe. Your architect knows. He knows all the emergency exits out of the building. Do you realize that when there is a power cut and nobody knows which are the other panic rooms in the building or where the generator is kept, if they found the architect without even him looking at the plans, despite having done so many buildings, what house is that? A Magdalene house. Right. There is a fire exit, you know, under those pipes in the third floor of the basement. There is another exit which tunnels across the road. Not many people know about it, but I do.
Amen.
If there is a way out, if there is a fire and it's closed all those other exits, tell people to head 3 steps down the basement. And run to the edge on the left. Don't go to the other one on the right. That one does not open. It's a dummy door. But if you go to the left one, there is a latch and a lever. If you just pull it once and jack it halfway through and pull it once again, it will open. Because he put it there.
Amen.
Why do you think you can't come out of your problems?
Amen.
Why are you quitting on life? Why are you thinking that God has forsaken you? Just look and leave, my brother.
Amen.
Your architect, he knows the type of parents to give you.
Amen.
The type of mother for you. He knows everything about you has been carefully orchestrated. The DNA you carry has been carefully selected. That's why worshiping God should be the easiest thing today.
Amen.
This God we are talking about, because he was Gideon's architect.
Amen.
Gideon was wondering, why am I in this mess? One of these days I'm going to get caught and I'll be in problems. But the architect came and says, Gideon,
Amen.
I just want to shake your hand,
Amen.
Gideon.
Amen.
Thou mighty man of valor.
Amen.
Gideon says, aha, with the fire I'm seeing you calling me mighty man. Doesn't it look strange for me to say, hey, Brother Dave, I admire your faith, man of God. You are a real mighty man of God. He said, Brother Crosby, I admire you. No. I've never been where my life was threatened to lose my sight. I don't know how to have that kind of faith. Should that happen to me, I have to say, Lord, do for me what you did for Brother David. Brother David is now experienced in eye healing faith than I am. Your problem defines how mighty you are.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, it doesn't look like it. Look at how I married. Look at how I did this. Look at how, Lord, God knows every detail.
Amen.
How could he be your architect when he doesn't know? When we grew up, we used to feel so sorry for Brother Andrew.
Amen.
We would feel so sorry, would almost be in tears to say, oh God, please just send a white lady for this man to marry. Honestly, Lord, please. I just pray that something happens to this white man. If someone of light complexion repents, you just, maybe that's Brother Andrew's bride. We were all wrong.
Amen.
The architect knew.
Amen.
None of us ever knew that there's a country called Lithuania, but the architect knew.
Amen.
By the time he got his bride, you could even tell by the shape of Sister Kitana's teeth and Brother Andrew's. This is bone of his bone. This is flesh of his flesh. The architect knows. And we thought, now, is he going to marry? Because, see, Brother Andrew is very white. But to us, he's not white. He's just our Brother Andrew. We can eat matemba with him. He is a black white man. Praise the Lord. So we were wondering, will we still be free with our black white man when he marries a white white person? We didn't realize there were also black white women somewhere in the world. And he went and got himself a black white woman. So we are all free. The architect knows. And I like the way that Brother Branham actually expresses it. He says, the Prince of Peace, your architect. Some of you thought that you came to Ireland to make a lot of money and then you send money and then you build a house. The architect knew that there's supposed to be a church in Dublin. Oh, give God some praise, somebody. Give the Lord a hand in praise. And some of you came fleeing religious persecution. And the architect knew what would get us out of Gweru. He had to make the men manifest how demon possessed he is so that we could run away as far away as possible. Imagine, if the architect left me there, would I be a pastor? Even there. Hello, brother. I won't mention his name. He might look one to you. Praise the Lord. Would you think that brother would allow me that today the word is coming from our precious Brother Crosby? No! The architect knew
Amen.
that let's ignite some pressure. Now, people are very difficult to move out of a comfort zone. That's why it takes a squeeze. For the bride to wake up and pray, we always have this thing in our minds that, there's still some. When the squeeze starts to happen, then we know Christ is about to come. Then when suddenly some of you who are used to logging on to Brother Donny Reagan's site, you can't go on there anymore. Brothers, squeeze, squeeze. Squeeze, squeeze, brother, squeeze. The question I'll ask, if it's a squeeze, where is your third pool? Because those things are, they run concurrent. Praise the Lord. Can I still preach? The architect, he's a designer. He knew exactly what type of face to give Tara. The architect knew that, okay, I want to make it this pretty. The architect could have slapped upon a very big nose. The architect says, oh, no. Let's give you that one. The architect knew the kind of a father to give Tara. Yeah, let me find good old poor old George, who talks too much, very embarrassing sometimes, with his bolded right up to here, coming to where you are with your friends. He says, that's my dad. And with his trousers put up right up to here, and his Jordans coming up the road. And you say, dad, sometimes it's embarrassing. The architect knew that George will pray through his daughter. Amen. George will insist that, Tara, I'm not going to put much pressure on you, but Tara, you know how you came to England. It was by grace, Tara. I used to fast and pray for you, my daughter. The architect knows. And he even knows what uncles to place in your sphere. And he placed Uncle Crosby in there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So when all you girls, you pretty girls, are standing up looking really, really British, some of the people don't even know that you are very Zimbabwean to the core. You eat sadza, you pretty girls. So imagine me meeting my girls. When are you guys coming for holiday? Summer, praise the Lord in the highest. Did you hear that? Summer, we're going to treat them well. Take you all to the nice places and all that. Praise the Lord. Amen. The architect knew that these girls, they need this type of a father, this type of a congregation, this type of influence. Every one of you has been fearfully and wonderfully made. Touch your neighbor and say, the architect knows this building. All your insecurities, all your fears, the architect is aware of them. Imagine, the architect actually knew that Brother Crosby suffers with a terrible complex for being short. He made sure that Brother Maxwell is here so that I can say, so being short ain't that bad anyway. Praise the Lord. So if anybody comes and says, there was a short brother, I can say, maybe that could be Brother Maxwell. I'm not the only one around. Praise the Lord. The architect knows. God bless you, my brother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, he's your designer. And he's your planner. He knows what quantities to put in a building. He even knows what materials. Your skin tone, he knows it. The ones that he made very, very dark, and they're often wondering, why am I this dark? I'm going to buy me that little fluid that the people drink and they become lighter and lighter. The architect knew that if you are too light, there'll be a lot of problems and consequences. So many accidents on the motorway. People are looking at how light you are. He's your planner. Amen. He's your builder. Amen. He commissions the building. He's your building consultant. The architect is your draftsman. A person who's responsible for inventing or realizing a particular idea or project. Now, do you think that Christ would bring a bride in this dark, painful, demonic age and not finish it with enough light and power to rise to the holiness he requires, since he said he's coming for a church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle? He knows that if you lay in the word, it's able to produce the beauty that you are supposed to be.
Amen.
Listen to this. The synonyms are originator, author, creator, instigator, founder, father, father. Definition of architect, father. Who fathers buildings? So if I go home to my son Nash, we have this issue of we go for restaurants, you know, take out the family for a meal. So the mom is more English than I am. Praise the Lord. So we go, we sit down, and my wife is the one that's all courteous, and you know. So last week it was my daughter's birthday. So we went to this French restaurant. Real, you know, praise the Lord. Amen. We will take you there, okay, girls? Come, praise the Lord. Real nice restaurant. So we sit there. So me, I'll be with my phone. And if it rings, remember it's a nice place. And it's, let's say it's Brother Scotty was on the phone. Scotty! Wango chitendi funga naika shangwari. Urreitere. And my daughter's like, oh, mom. Can't you tell him to just switch off his phone? This is a special time. I'm so embarrassing to them. Imagine with how trendy I try to be. I'm very embarrassing to my children. But yet I am their architect. Oh, give God some praise there, someone. Now, how many of you are embarrassed at Christ? Yet he is your architect. He is supplying all your needs. How many remember that young girl gone to university? She's in a train with her bourgeoisie friends. And I see this mother running up, very excited to see her daughter after a little while coming from school. And one of the three girls looks at the mother, says, "Oh, look at that hideous looking woman." Instead of that girl looking around and said, "You know what? That's my mom." She got embarrassed. And the mom got all excited to run to her. And she walked away. And there was a man at the station who was observing. He looked at it. He went to that girl. He took her and said, "Do you know that this woman was more beautiful than you are? She got all those scars, rescuing you out of a fire. How dare you be ashamed of her now?" How many times when people are walking around at school grounds and university, try to hide the fact that they are associated with Christ, trying to fit in. Things are going to get darker and darker. But it's going to get brighter and brighter. Amen. This is a time to be connected to Christ.
Amen.
The architect.
Amen.
Your father. God.
Amen.
The Prince of Peace.
Amen.
The mighty God.
Amen.
The everlasting Father.
Amen.
The one who gave you authority and said the government shall be upon your shoulders.
Amen.
Listen to this. Raise it up. Now watch. This Prince of Peace, this statement, it really, really freaked me out. Brother Branham, in the message Shalom, he says, when Jesus came, the Prince of Peace, why wasn't there peace? I would have thought when Jesus came, there was peace. No, wars continued. after Jesus came, there was no peace. And he says, watch this remark that the prophet says. Because all the word wasn't fulfilled in his day.
Amen.
Wow!
Amen.
And says, he's fulfilling it today.
Amen.
Christ could never be the Prince of Peace when he was walking on earth.
Amen.
He can only be the Prince of Peace in the bride.
Amen.
Now we know the government is upon our shoulders. Now we know it's going to get darker and darker. Now we know there ain't going to be no power to save the world. But the bride, which has the full word, can only manifest the Prince of Peace. That's why the prophet had to announce that it's getting darker and darker, but it's shalom to the bride. Because only us in the message can experience this Prince of Peace ability. All the time that they wrote that Prince of Peace. That's why Brother Branham was the one that could come and really expound and say, who is this Melchizedek?
Amen.
King of Salem.
Amen.
Salem is peace.
Amen.
From Jerusalem.
Amen.
Brother, when you come to Christ and you know what is happening in your day and in this hour, your application to life,
Amen,
and to the message of this hour,
Amen,
is different.
Anybody
saying, Lord, help us,
Amen,
to experience the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
He cannot be experienced in any other age. Luther could read and preach out of that scripture, but Christ could never be the Prince of Peace in that day. Wesley could do the same. Irenaeus could do the same. St. Martin could do the same. All of them. Christ himself could say, I am the King of Salem. But there was no peace.
Amen.
Peace only comes when the full word is manifested.
Amen.
So that's why I said I have to read that remark for you. When Jesus came, the Prince of Peace, why wasn't there peace? Because all the word wasn't fulfilled in his day. He is fulfilling it now,
Amen,
with you.
Amen.
Despite all your problems.
Amen.
That's why, brother, we need to challenge and provoke,
Amen,
your faith for you to not look at your circumstances.
Amen.
To look beyond your circumstances.
Amen.
And look to the promise of the day.
Amen.
Or shout amen, someone.
Amen.
Watch, the prophet is still expounding in shalom, level of miracles, the things that have happened. We are in a brighter day.
That's right.
Says, did you notice when he went to make water into wine? He took water first and already created substance and turned it into wine. When he fed 5,000 people, he took a fish that once swam in the water, broke it, handed it out, multiplied creation. He took bread that was once wheat, baked into bread, broke it, hung it out, handed it out to the people, and returned it back again, multiplied creation. But in the last days, when there is no sign of creation, he speaks it,
Amen,
into creation.
Amen.
Brother, knowing this, you can create your own job right now.
Amen.
It's creating out of nothing. It's let there be.
Amen.
Recently, we had a brother come from this church, came to see his wife, got arrested by the immigration, was supposed to be deported on a particular Wednesday. I went into the pulpit and I preached the message, the government is upon our shoulders.
Amen.
And I said, if we touch and agree that brother will not be deported. Brother Godfrey Zyper from Malawi. He was going to be sent back to Malawi. His Irish visa revoked. His ability to come to England revoked. But we are saying no. Because we know where we stand. We are living in a tremendous day. And I'm here to provoke your faith, my brother, my sister. You can do more than you think. You only have to believe. That brother was taken from Liverpool to... Brother Jim is nodding his head because he was there when I was spending the whole day ringing up backwards and forth. Praise the Lord. That's why I didn't entertain you very well because of that case. You come again, I'll look after you. Praise the Lord. That man was destined to be deported. As we are speaking, that faith bug has got a hold of him. He is now speaking on his own and saying, they are giving me my papers. Amen. Footsteps means possession. That man is now on fire. If I need encouragement, I just ring him. The devil is a liar. We are living in the most tremendous time. But when people hear squeeze, if you are afraid of the squeeze, you are a make-believer. You are making us believe you have the power, because the third pull can only be seen when there is a challenge. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Watch. But in the last days, when there is no sign of creation, he speaks it into creation. Anyhow, shows to be the same God that was in the beginning. Amen. He can create squirrels. He can create whatever he wants to, because he is God. Amen. Greater things than this will you do. Amen. For I go unto my Father. The word is infallible. Amen. And it has to be manifested. And has to be. Watch where the prophet is speaking about it. In the message. Shalom. Greater than this shall you do. And the prophet makes a remark. Amen. Says, not multiplying, but speaking out into creation. Amen. In other words, the prophet is saying, most of the miracles that happened in the past, they had to originate with something already created. Amen. But in these last days, where it's getting darker and darker, we have to have miracles that are just spoken word power. Amen. You have to eat the book. Amen. To be able to speak. Amen. You have to have eaten it to know. Amen. But when you are thinking that, oh, it's just a message church is like half Pentecost, half Baptist. Very fundamental, but can be very, very powerful and charismatic. So, message equals half Baptist, half Pentecost. These days I never call myself a message believer. No. I call myself the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. So many things have called themselves message. Independent, what message? RGM, what not, this, that. A load of nonsense. Until we have now forgotten to focus on what promise we are sitting under today. Is the government still upon our shoulder? Amen. For what? To make us survive in these treacherous days so full of darkness. Think about it, saints. This is a time that Daniel saw. Amen. So that he wrote that scripture that end the people that know their God. Amen. They shall be strong. Amen. And they'll do exploits. Amen. One of the things that we need to thoroughly drive away out of people these days is that demon of fear. Amen. That demon of insecurity. Amen. That demon that keeps creeping upon the people, that whenever they want to exercise their faith, and if they fall short,
They'll say, ah, well, all things work together for good. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee, close to thee. How close can you be to God when you're toiling and suffering? That's what Gideon asked. You calling me a mighty man of valor? Can't you see this is wheat? This is a wine press. I'm supposed to make flour out of a wine press. This is meant for liquid pressing. This is not meant for grain. But that's the attribute God wanted upon that man. That he was fearless despite the circumstances. Am I helping anybody this afternoon? Anybody say, Lord, rise in me that level of faith to meet the challenge of the day. Let the Prince of Peace come upon my life. Because the Prince of Peace could never be the Prince of Peace any other time. Because there was no full word. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 7 and 8.
Amen.
He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Anytime you see the word overcome, it means it's a fight.
Amen.
When Paul was preaching to Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. In other words, don't just give up.
Amen.
We don't like soldiers that easily roll over and surrender. Rise up, gentle warrior, and fight for your God-given possession. When the Gentile, when Israel was being adopted into these places under Joshua, they knew that Canaan had giants. It was the promised land, but you had to fight for every inch. Why is your job under threat? So that you can raise your faith. Why is your children causing such heartaches and headaches? So that you can really pray for them and apply the token. People just want a God who just comes to lazy people and just says, oh, I just went to church. I was actually thinking about what I did last week. And then the Holy Ghost just came to me. And just changed me. He just changed me. I was actually eating my nails. The Holy Ghost just came. Just like that. Just like that. You have to be desperate about it. You have to want it so bad. In any church that wants a revival, you know, they come, this pastor, you know, Brother Andrew's young brother, you know, from England, this brother, short one, ah, this one, that one, sometimes that one gets excited, he even stands on top of the chair, and starts visiting. That one, he just comes, he came and we had a revival, never.
Amen.
A revival comes when you create it in your hearts, through your own prayer, your desire, when some, then comes a preacher that will ignite what has already been started. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 21. He that overcometh shall inherit some things. Some things. Some things. Some things. Some things. I can't hear you. Some things. And I will be his God. And he shall be my son. But, the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, what intrigued me about this scripture? Remember, my sermon is the Prince of Peace. Watch the first category of people that go to hell. The fearful. Some brothers can be in the message.
counting up in 40 years under the pillar of fire in the message of the hour. So full of fear. You will find yourself with Michael Jackson in hell, yet having been in the message. Fearful. You know, I love the Lord and everything about God, but just when it comes to extending my faith, somehow I have this overwhelming spirit of fear. I can't do it. Then I wind up saying, you know what? Like Brother Crosby preached and said, he's our architect. God made me like that. I'm of a fearful disposition. That's how he made me. When it comes to faith, it's not how he made you. It's the seed of God in you. It's meant to manifest the word of your day. There is no disposition issue on that one. Others say, what if I don't have the gift of faith? How will you be raptured? How are you going to transform your body when you can't transform a toothache? You'll even come and be prayed for and have lay hands laid on you. Just pray for me. Just when you come back from being prayed for and you sit down. Well, I love this. Thank you, Jesus. I've been you. Said, these things, do they really work? I've seen many people being laid hands upon. I've seen people plenty, man. Hey. But at least I gave it a try. I'll see how I wake up tomorrow. You never know these things. Maybe, you know, maybe he has a special anointing. I have no special anointing. Nobody has.
Amen.
We are meant to ignite your faith.
Amen.
People want to be given things on a plate. Everything is yours.
Amen.
If you are tenacious enough for it.
Amen.
But if you just gladly will, I toil and suffer, thou my everlasting portion. God will look at you and say, you silly. Praise the Lord. Fearful. Fearful. What I don't understand is how people can actually get themselves a very decent education and still be afraid to apply for a job. I don't understand that. You can actually get so educated and become an accountant. Says, there are no jobs. No. There are jobs.
Amen.
You can create your own.
Amen.
By faith.
Amen.
All you need, you don't need 50 jobs. You need one.
Amen.
Despite there being a credit crunch, some people are working. But you just look at yourself and say, who will hire me? I'm old. There's young people coming out. So I just decided to do care work. Because it's not extending your faith.
Amen.
Care work, all they know is, can you wash old people? Are you happy? If you say, got the job. Every aspect of life takes faith. So I have come tonight.
Amen.
To provoke you.
Amen.
Where is your faith?
Amen.
Sister Olga, where is your faith?
Amen.
Huh? Where is your faith, believer friend?
Amen.
Says, why do you always think negative? When you are living in a time where everything is getting brighter and brighter and brighter for the bride. I'm still new to this church, so I'm still learning.
Amen.
If you've just heard my voice, the thing is yours.
Amen.
Maybe all you need is to hear this sermon. Touch your neighbor and say, it could be yours, you know.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now imagine nice people, but fearful, being classified fearful and unbelieving. First category, first batch. Lord, I've never committed any adultery. You can't take me to hell. No. Too much fear. Go. But Lord, no, fear is what you are going there for. You mean, Lord, me, putting me with the abominable, with the homosexuals.
Yes, yes, yes.
Fearful, unbelieving, abominable, same class. Go, 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 go. Ah, God, this is not fair. This is not fair. No! That's why we have to read you these scriptures, so that you are not sitting on your laurels. You are saying, Lord, what's the challenge of the day? The message of the hour meets the challenge of the day. Says, and murderers, and warmongers. Imagine sitting with the same apostasy, while with all his nonsense, just because of fear. Fear puts you in the same class with any abominable person you know. That's how God views you. Because he gave us the equipment. The word. The word can defeat Satan any place, any time. Any place, any time. Do we have things easy? No. Why are our things hard? Because he's wonderful. Oh, this is tough being a message believer. Yes. The tougher it is so that it can weed out the fearful and the unbelieving. That's why we used to sing that song when we were growing up. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these are bound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen. There are some people who are demoralizing with how negative they are. You know, when Moses sent a search party, a team, to investigate about the promised land, they went there 12. And the Bible says he chose 12 of the best of each tribe. Amen. Cream of the crop. And let me tell you, if you are in the message of the hour, God chose you as the cream of the crop. That's why when a brother backslides in the message, you will never hear that they've joined another denomination. It doesn't work like that. He knows that, I'd rather just go and drink. When God calls me back, I'll come to church. I can't stand for such nonsense. Because you'll go to a church where there's a woman, yes, hallelujah, yesterday I was speaking to my husband and God spoke to me, praise the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you Jesus. You just look at that and it says nonsense. It's an abomination for a woman to wear a trousers. It's an abomination for a woman to be standing and usurping authority over men. Even in your backslidden state, you'll be knowing. That's why you are a special class of people. Only you could make the message great. Amen. And he sent us preachers, voice of many waters, to drive out that spirit of fear. Abomination. Amen. That fear. Praise the Lord. Amen. Watch. This is abominable. Murderers. Warmongers. You would have pecked the spoken word all your life. So full of fear. And then now in hell you have to fellowship with all mongers. Person will be so full of faith. Sir, how are you? What were you doing on earth? What brought you to hell? Me, I was a prostitute. Can't you even see? AIDS. I have AIDS written all over me. What about you? I was in the message. I just didn't believe when the preachers preached. Especially that short one is very personal. At times like this, that's when you prefer Brother Andrew. Saints, We just have to pray about it and, you know, just let let God just lead you to the things. You know, God just will lead you to the things. Now I believe like Gideon.
Amen.
Like Gideon.
Amen.
I'll be found at a wine press.
Amen.
With wheat.
Amen.
Trying to do something.
Amen.
I will not roll over and surrender.
Amen.
And play dead. God will make a way somehow.
Amen.
So the 12 brothers went. 10 of them came with reports. Every one of them came with a report. The first 10 said to Moses, that land, Canaan, oh, this message of the hour, it is the spoken word power. You can speak things into existence. You know, when the pastor said, I give you your job, you can actually receive it in the message. But, that works in Africa, not in Dublin. They were like giants, and we were like grasshoppers. So were we, even in our own sight. There were giants, big, big Amalekites. And I looked at Joshua. He was like a grasshopper. Have you ever seen a proportion of a grasshopper to a human being? They even had to exaggerate how big their problem was. You know, brother, mine is cancer. That's how mine is cancer. We don't look at how big the problem is.
Amen.
The day I preached this message, I came to church and there was a prayer request. Is that right? And the prayer request was left for the pastor. So I go. It was this long. It was numbered. It said, please, pastor, pray for my sister. She has, her lungs have collapsed. Her kidneys have collapsed. Her heart is functioning at 25%. Everything. Her what? She is having double vision. And this, and this, and this, and this. I read the whole list and I said, who gave this request? He said, I don't like things like this. Why didn't you just write, please, pastor, pray, someone is dead? You are trying to magnify this devil. He has lupus, this and this, and lupus is incurable. He said, you want to intimidate me when I want to preach now? I want to preach faith, you come with this. I just said, sister, as far as I'm concerned, it's a devil, and I rebuke it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That sister was discharged out of hospital the following day.
Amen.
But if we're going, kidneys, heart, double vision. Oh God, let your will be done. She was a 33-year-old woman. This happened, what? A month ago. Then the following day, after the girl was discharged, then came a Thanksgiving. Pastor, it has been such a miracle. The doctors were even shocked. They've actually discharged her. I said, but sister, them that observe, do you know that scripture?
Amen.
Them that observe, lying, forsake. That's the skill behind David killing Goliath. Saul saw Goliath just warming up the battle with two drums of 200 liter water as tumblers for his drink. Ciao. Send me a man. And he put one drum. 200 liters. He drank it in two gulps of sips.
Good. Good.
And they saw four dozens of eggs waiting to be fried for his omelette. Then they saw the spear, a weaver's beam. Do you know what a weaver's beam looks like? And they saw his fingers. And he says, send me a man. When David came, he never looked at that, how big the guy was. He looked at the promise. And he said, who is that? He defined him how he was. Who is that uncircumcised Philistine? And God said, that's a man after my own heart. Touch your neighbor and say, fear. Don't be afraid. Touch them. Look them in the eye and tell them, fear will take you to hell. Just as much as adultery. Same category. The fearful. The warmongers. 10 brothers told Moses, brother Moses, I know, brother, you had the pillar of fire in your day. It's a third exodus. This is the first exodus. We saw what God did. But as for going to that place, we were like grasshoppers. And so were we in our own sight. But there was the Joshua and Caleb outfit. What did they say? He says, let's think about it, brothers. We can strategize. We can defeat them.
Amen.
No, they didn't say we can defeat them. They said, let us go at once.
Amen.
When a devil comes upon you, don't try and procrastinate. Confront it headlong.
Amen.
There is more promises waiting to be fulfilled on your behalf.
Amen.
That could never be done in Jesus' time.
Amen.
That could never be done any other time.
Amen.
And when the prophet said these things, about the Prince of Peace. He then died a year later. But wars continued.
Amen.
The full word was there. But there weren't any people ready to catch it.
Amen.
I'm challenging you, Dublin Church. The Prince of Peace is among you.
Amen.
He is standing by.
Amen.
Things are going to get dark and dark. But what do you say of this Christ? Of this Jesus called Christ.
Amen.
Think about it, saints. Are you going to be numbered with the fearful and sorcerers just because of unbelief? Are you going to be numbered like that? How many say, Lord, take away that spirit of fear?
Amen.
How many say, Lord,
Amen.
Take away that spirit of fear?
Amen.
It has been prophesied by my prophet that it's going to get darker and darker, and I'm seeing it. But he also said it's going to get brighter and brighter.
Amen.
There is no other season to manifest who you are
Amen.
Than this season.
Amen.
But brother, I have so many problems. Your architect knows
Amen.
That you can
Amen.
Defeat them
Amen.
As we rise to our feet. Joshua and Caleb defied the odds because they knew who they were. We told you last night by the Holy Ghost that the government is upon your shoulder. Now we are telling you, not only is the government upon your shoulder, the Prince of Peace is standing by to support you. And he never comes when things are easy. That word, Jehovah Shalom, did not come to Gideon after the victory. It came before the battle. I don't care what you are fighting in your life. God has sent me to Ireland this season with a word for someone who will dare believe it. Do I have anyone who will believe it? Or raise your hand in faith if you believe it. Raise your hand in faith if you believe it. Defy gravity. And say, Lord, help my unbelief. Be merciful unto me. The devil is a liar. The God who made you, he knows what you can stomach. He knows what you can overcome. He knows why he brought you in a day where he couldn't bring David. He couldn't bring Jeremiah. He couldn't bring Daniel. None of them could make it in Laodicea. But as for you, you are a special class of people. God has sent me here to remind you that you are bigger than your problem. And your problem does not define you. You are bigger than your problem. Let's press on the upward way and gain new heights. Still praying as we are onward bound. I want the song leader to come and just help us sing this song. Let's sing it twice, thrice. Think about it, saints. Drive out that spirit of fear, that spirit of unbelief. And let loose. Let God have his wonderful way. Do you know that fear will stop you from receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Because it's also faith. You get saved by faith. Amen. Salvation is by faith. Amen. And what are the principles of faith? You have to defy those lying vanities in your life. And know that unto us a son, a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Hear ye him. The government shall be upon his shoulder. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. These things are for the bride. And you are bride material. Believest thou this?
Amen.
Believest thou this?
Amen.
Someone is saying, but Brother Crosby, you don't understand my situation. Do I have to? When you are provoking, brother, if we are meant to understand situations, we become like Saul, who sees that, there is no one who can match Goliath. Seeing that Saul was head and shoulders above everyone. If there was anyone, if anything, the only person who could confront Goliath was Saul, because he was the biggest in Israel. But faith that was in a little bitty fellow tackled that Goliath.
Amen.
You look at your Goliath and defy him tonight and say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I'm pressing on the upward way. Sing it with all that's within you. Shake them demons of unbelief.
Amen.
I am pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up.
Lord, lift me up and let me stay.
pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven stable in a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven stable in a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Amen. How many feel their faith rising? Go home and water that word. Don't take no for an answer. Amen. Remember Paul, when he had a stomach problem, he prayed. How many times? The first time, did he say, well, all things work together for good? Second time, third time, until God had to tell him that my grace is sufficient for you. Because the man was persistent. And we have a prophet who preached for us a message in this day called persistence. Amen. This word is infallible. It has to energize somebody. How many say it's my word tonight? I am the bride. Oh, come on, raise your hand and say, I am the, claim it as yours. I am the bride. When it's getting darker and darker, it's shalom for me. It's shalom for me. Don't let the devil throw you back in a stupor. Faith knows no defeat. Why did God put the unbelieving and fearful in hell? Because God can only be pleased by faith. That's why he said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. How many would like to please God? How many would like to please God? How many say, Lord? Lord, repeat these words with me. Lord, I defy the devil tonight. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. My faith is my currency to survive in this dark, which is going to get even darker. But yet the prophet tells me it's brighter and brighter to the believer. Shalom to you, church, as I invite Brother Maxwell to close for us. Give the Lord a clap offering, someone.
Ah, praise the Lord. Amen. How many have been provoked this afternoon?
Amen.
You know, the people in the world, when they are provoked to anger. But we, the children of God, when we are provoked, the Bible says we are provoked to love and unto good works. Oh, praise the Lord. How many love our brother Crosby? Myself, this is my first time of really meeting him face to face and hearing from him. It has been a real blessing. Brethren, from all that the Holy Spirit has spoken through him, this is the manifestation, the time, the manifestation of the sons of God.
Amen.
This is the time God is calling his children.
Amen.
This is the time he said he will present to himself a church without blemish, without wrinkle, a holy church. Out from this filth that we are in. And it has to take nothing but the message of the hour. And that is exactly what we have received. The Prince of Peace. It couldn't work until this our day. My brother, look at Jeremiah, Ezekiel, those all big people. God found that they weren't ready for this our time. But you and me, brother, we have heard a message this afternoon. And let it be what? Something that will be sealed in your heart.
Amen.
That you live by it.
That's right.
That it will become a written epistle in your life. That when you walk, people will be reading Christ in your life.
Amen.
Oh, this is a message. How many love our brother?
Amen.
Let's sing that song again. I'm pressing on. And then let's have a word of prayer. Oh, praise the Lord. Are you pressing on?
Amen.
The upward way. New heights you are gaining every day. Oh, hallelujah.
I am pressing on the upward way. New heights I am gaining every day.
And we have already caught a glimpse of that holy bride. Oh yes, sir. We are not of this world. We have already been translated. Oh, glory be to God. Let's all raise our hands. Let's all raise our hands towards him. And now just say something to the Lord. Oh, say, Lord, place me on the higher ground. Tell the Lord something. Tell the Lord something. The Lord, this is my prayer. This is my prayer this afternoon. That you lift me up, oh Lord, on higher grounds. Oh, I want to scale the utmost height and catch a glimpse of the glorious bright. Oh Lord. Oh, the faith. Grant me that faith, Lord. Take away every doubt, Lord. Oh, those somewhere dwell where all this abounds. But Lord, the church prayer this afternoon. Oh, it's a higher grounds, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your name for your word of life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That peace never happened at any time than today. Peace to the church. The church that has escaped from the corruption of this world. Oh, glory be to your name, Lord. We bless you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, how wonderful you are. You're always wonderful, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, glory be to your name. Thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, dear Heavenly Father of the truth, you are a wonderful God. Oh, in this world that we are living in now, living in filth like this, but yet, Lord, you said you will be able to present to yourself a glorious church without blemish, without wrinkle, without spot, a holy church. Yes. And here we stand this afternoon claiming to be that church, O God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the prophet. We thank you, Lord, for the word of life. Even this afternoon, Father, we thank you for our precious brother Crosby. Yes. The Lord, you have used him mightily. Oh, from yesterday night and to this afternoon. Amen. Oh, Father, virtue has gone out of him. But, Father, you are the one that restores. Amen. And, Father, we pray that you replenish him. Amen. Even as he leaves this afternoon to another church. Father, be his strength, Lord. Yes. Continue, Lord Jesus, to bring the word of anointing through him, Lord.
Amen.
That, Father, when we hear, we will not be only hearers, but we will be doers of your word, O God. Father, as we live here, we know we are not living in your presence. We are going with the word of God sealed in our hearts. Oh, believing that, Lord, one of these days, whilst people are crying that there is a squeeze, we the believers, we are rejoicing.
Amen.
Because we know that, Lord, the time is near. We know that you are in the block. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, the flashing red light of your coming. Oh, the train is already in the block. Father, we thank you that this afternoon we are hearing messages like this. Oh, Lord, continue to bless us. As long as you tarry, Lord, let us continue to remain, Lord, in your presence. Oh, just like Moses came out from your presence, even no one could look into his face.
Amen.
Oh, Father, brighten us, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we commit as many that will be journeying back home, Lord. Commit our journey back into your hands, Lord.
Amen.
That you grant each and everyone journey mercies, Lord.
Jesus.
And let us continue to meditate day and night. Every hour, every minute, every second upon your word, O God, that we will be the word.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord Jesus. As many people that have come here as visitors, Lord, we know that they are not visitors.
Amen.
They are your children, O God.
Amen.
Bless them, Lord Jesus,
yes.
And instill your word in them, O God.
Amen.
We thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm pressing on the upward way. New highs I'm gaining every day. Oh, today we have gained highs.
Amen.
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 Oh, God richly bless you.
Amen.
Continue to remember your pastor in prayer as they will be flying back, that the Lord will grant them journey mercies and will continue with what? The ministry.
Amen.
Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, punishes my sadness. Guilt is gone,
oh,
peace is mine,
oh,
peace like the river. Jesus is a wonder.
living king with my Lord in a holy union, day by day, holy sweet communion. Oh, what change grace is wrought in my lovely station since my soul has received full and free salvation.
Jesus is the